Words from St. Mark's Gospel, and he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. The recent British Social Attitude Survey, which you may have seen, made very depressing reading for us in the Church of England. It told us that the proportion of people in this country who describe themselves as Anglican has halved in the last 15 years to only 15% of the population. Among the 16 to 24 age group, it is as low as 2%. That is a much more rapid decline than we had feared, which will have huge implications for the church over the next 30 to 40 years. But in a sense, this survey didn't tell us anything that we haven't known for a long time, which is that our church has to change. We have to stop merely considering ourselves the caretakers of a Christian society and recognize that we need to be evangelists. If people are not brought up in the Christian faith, then they have to be converted to it. And we all have to learn how to be much better at that. Hence the Archbishop of Canterbury's focus on evangelism and on the planting of churches that provide easier routes into faith than the traditional parish model may sometimes present. And I've been a part of that. At the university where I am chaplain, the culture among young people has changed dramatically, even from the very recent period when your vicar was studying there. For the vast majority of home students, Christian faith does not feature strongly in their upbringing. And if they venture into church, it usually feels very alien or even unwelcoming to them. So we have set up a new worshipping community for students that assumes no previous Christian understanding, that meets students where they're at on their campus, and that seeks to share the basics of the Christian faith in ways that make sense to them. So how, in the context of this missional, intentionally evangelistic church, do we understand Jesus' stern order in this morning's gospel not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah? How is this so-called messianic secret, which is prominent in Mark's gospel, consonant with the instruction in Matthew's gospel to make disciples of all nations, and the reality that no one will become a Christian if they don't know that Jesus is the Messiah? One sensible approach is to suppose that this order is simply a matter of timing. Jesus doesn't want his disciples to openly proclaim this news now, because that would hasten the authorities' opposition towards him when he still has things to complete. "My hour has not yet come," is how he puts it in John's Gospel. In that interpretation, the messianic secret is of no relevance to us who live after the resurrection. But I've always thought there must be a bit more to it than that. Jesus is telling people that he is the Messiah in lots of different ways all the time, through his miracles, his healing, and his teaching. Everything he is doing is proclaiming the arrival of the messianic age and the fulfillment of prophecy. And presumably he's not disappointed that Peter has realized this. But it prompts a further clarifying conversation with the disciples about the kind of Messiah Jesus is. And it becomes clear that although Peter believes, he has not yet fully understood. The religious language and understanding that Peter brings to his interpretation of Jesus' special identity needs to be challenged and redefined if he is to comprehend fully who Jesus is and what he's doing. So surely the point of the messianic secret is not that Jesus doesn't want people to believe that he is the Messiah, but rather he wants them to understand what this means. And if he's worried about people revealing prematurely that he is the Messiah, this is an indication that there can be great danger in believing but not understanding. In this sense, I don't think that messianic secret is quite the right word, Christianity was born into a world of religious cults based on secrets. This was called Gnosticism, and believers were initiated into more and more of the secrets of the cult as they moved up through the hierarchy. But in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul is clear that Christianity is different. It is not a Gnostic cult, because the fact that Jesus is Lord is proclaimed openly, and for St. Paul, there wasn't much more that you needed to know. But Paul does continue to use a word associated with the secret cults, mysterion, which has been translated in the Christian tradition as either mystery or sacrament, to point to this paradox of Christian truth, that it has been revealed and proclaimed openly, but it also remains somehow hidden and mysterious. It is a truth we need to journey into, a truth that continues to unfold as we grow in prayer and maturity and insight. So in that sense, I think the messianic secret, or let's call it the messianic mystery, is still very relevant to us today. The world is full of the dangers of believing but not understanding, from the tribal Christianities of groups like the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda, to the populist rallying cry for Christendom, which Steve Bannon has been stoking in Rome this week. All these strands of Christianity have fervent believers, but I would want to argue that they do not understand who Jesus is, or even the implications of their own beliefs. So there's a message for the Church of England in all this too. As we seek to re-evangelize this nation and preach the gospel to young people who have never heard it before, we need to avoid any kind of superficial marketing strategy that is simply focused on making more believers. If faith is to be authentic and true, we need to take people on a journey of understanding. Not just believing that Jesus is the Messiah, but understanding what God's incarnation has to say about our own humanity. Not just believing that Jesus died for our sins, but understanding what the cross of Christ means in a world of power struggles and competition. Not just believing that Jesus will come again, but consciously shaping our lives according to the pattern of God's kingdom, so that what the Spirit has begun in us may be fulfilled in God's purposes. So the messianic mystery for us is perhaps something of the reticence of speech that our epistle spoke of, a suspicion of quick results, a recognition that we are not just selling an idea to people. Rather, we are, as Jesus was doing, opening up people's imaginations about their lives, about their neighbors, about the world, and about the future. We are helping people explore the mystery of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And what we can be sure of is that we will be unsuccessful in our efforts to re-evangelize our country unless we are deeply caught up in the wonder and glory of that mystery ourselves.